8. Man. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. Once you found your place in Luke chapter 8, we're going to read in verse 41. Would you stand with me, please? Let me read a few verses here out of honor and respect for the Bible. We'll stand here together. I'll read aloud if you would follow along there in your place. Luke 8, verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When they all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me." It's always Peter arguing with Jesus, isn't it? I think Peter was definitely an independent Baptist. Verse 46, Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Interesting, daughter, not sister. Just an interesting term there. He'd have to be her father to call her daughter, but he's not the father, he's the son. You figure that out. We'll read on here. He said in verse 49, "While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished." Yeah, that's an understatement. But yeah, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. It's interesting how that immediately this woman was healed, immediately, and then straightway this damsel, maiden, she arose from death, straightway. I want to talk to you tonight for a little while about Jairus and Jesus. Jairus and Jesus. I won't be long tonight if you'll promise to pay attention, okay? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the Bible. I thank you for the time together with your people. And I especially thank you for Jesus. Thank you, God, for the blessing it is to know this man, Jesus, personally, to have this man, Jesus, living in our hearts through your Spirit because of your grace. Now, tonight, Lord, I pray that Jesus would be exalted above everything else on our minds and in our lives. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would go forth with liberty and bind the devil, not allow anything to hinder or distract. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing. You know my heart tonight. I just want to bless and be an encouragement to your people as I do give you glory and honor all because of Jesus. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. Please, you may be seated. Thank you for standing. We have here the story of a man named Jairus coming to Jesus. The Bible tells us he's a leader of the synagogue. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He would have been a wealthy man. He would have had plenty of money, plenty of prominence, plenty of knowledge, I should say, many connections, let's put it that way. He would have been a prominent man in the community. He would have been able to find help if there was help to be found. But in this case, he knew that his only help for help was Jesus. He had a 12-year-old daughter, by the way, his only child, his one and only daughter, that was lying very sick at home. He had come to Jesus to seek her healing or to ask Jesus to help him and please come to his house and heal his daughter. Now, we don't have any record here or in any other scriptures that I've seen of Jesus answering him, but we see here that Jesus simply begins to go with him to his house. Now, right here, I want you to think with me. We're just going to look at this story for a little while tonight, and we won't be long, but I think there's some good things. When you look at Jesus and look at things that he does, it's always encouraging, amen? I think it is. But right here, I see Jairus come to Jesus. Now, the Bible says in verse 41 that he fell down at Jesus' feet and he besought him that he would come. Basically, he got down on his face at his feet and begged him, please, Jesus. He may have reached out and grabbed onto his ankles, or I don't know, but he said, please, Jesus, you've got to come to my house. My only daughter, little 12-year-old girl, she's laying in bed dying. And the Bible says, as he went, the people thronged him. So we don't know what Jesus said. We just know that there somehow they began to go toward Jairus' house. I want to spend some time tonight thinking and putting ourselves in Jairus' mind, okay? When Jesus began to go with him to the house, I mean, right then and there, I promise you, Jairus was thrilled. I mean, he was overjoyed. Here comes, this is my answer to prayer. This is the reason I came. Amen. You know, because he didn't really know what Jesus was going to do. I imagine he expected Christ to go with him, but after all, he could not control what he did. Neither can you, and neither can I. We can't control what Jesus does. No matter how hard we pray, we can't control what Jesus does. Right. But when Jesus began to go with him to the house, I guarantee you his heart was just bouncing in his chest, and he was excited. He was thinking, oh, sweetheart, honey bun, 12-year-old little daughter, mama, here we come. I've got Jesus, and we're on the way.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Man.
But.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, this is going to be a roller coaster ride kind of with Jairus, but he, as soon as they began to go, the verse 42 says, the people thronged him. That word throng means they just basically almost dogpiled him without knocking him down. They just crowded around him to where it was a mob, a multitude, a horde of people. And the Bible says a woman in verse 43 then, of course, it's not uncommon for Jesus to have a crowd around him. You know that if you read the Bible. But people are going, and he's trying to travel. He's moving. But then here comes this woman coming up behind Jesus, and she just touches him, the border of his garment in verse 44. And the Bible says immediately she was healed. She heard Jesus was coming through. She came to the crowd. She made her way to Jesus, and she was instantly healed. Amen. Instantly healed. Her blood stanched. That word stanched is a word we don't use anymore. It just means her blood stopped. She stopped bleeding. It dried up. Hallelujah. Immediately. Now, notice, it was after 12 years, in verse 43, she had spent all her living upon physicians. She was flat broke.
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
She was flat broke.
Yep.
Now, she had no money left, and she obviously could not find a good doctor.
Right.
There was no cure for what she had, or they were just really bad doctors. But the point is, she was flat broke. She had nothing left but Jesus. And I think tonight, that's the whole point of my message, if you will, tonight. I'm giving it away early. But she had nothing left but Jesus. But can I say, when you have Jesus, you have everything.
Amen.
You have everything.
Amen.
She had nothing left. She ran to Jesus. She said, if I could just touch touched the border of his garment. And the Bible says immediately, salvation does not take a process of time. When I come into contact with Jesus by faith, hallelujah, immediately my sins are forgiven. Immediately I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. Immediately my name is written in heaven. Immediately I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. Immediately.
That's right.
We have an immediately working God, if that's a
Amen.
That's not proper, but
Amen.
But she got her healing, she got what she needed immediately.
Yep.
And then Jesus stops and says, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And Peter, of course, Peter. Good old Peter. Every church has got to have at least one of them. Good old Peter. "Jesus, what do you mean, who touched you? The whole crowd is thronging you. They're all mobbing you. What do you mean, who touched you?" And Jesus is very patient.
Amen.
Very compassionate. Praise Amen. He said, "Peter, somebody touched me."
Praise the Lord. Amen.
"I said, somebody touched me." It's because then he says, "Virtue has gone out of me." What that means was power.
Yeah.
Power. Healing power had gone out of him. "I perceive that virtue has gone out of me." Now, here's what I want to look at quickly when it comes to this woman. I'm not going to jump over this completely. But many people were touching him, but only one was healed. Yeah. Only one was changed that day that we know of.
Right.
What do you mean by that, preacher? What I mean by this is simply this. She touched him in faith.
Yes.
She touched him believing that he could heal her.
Yeah. That's right.
What am I saying? Listen, you know, there's a lot of people that come to church. They come to church. They get around the Bible. They may even read their Bibles at home. They may pray. They may come to church maybe even more than once a week. But they're not changed.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. Nothing changes in their life.
Amen.
But other people can come to church and you can just see them growing almost literally before your eyes.
Yeah.
You can see them changing, God changing everything about them. And what's the difference? The difference is not the Bible. The difference is not the Lord God Almighty. The difference is that there's a lack of faith in that one person who's not changing.
Right.
Because that's what he says to her. He says, "Thy faith hath made thee whole."
Yeah.
Now, some people come to church and they get their belly full, but nothing changes.
Yeah.
You understand? A lot of these people were following Jesus just to get fed.
Yeah. Amen.
He did feed people. Some people come to Jesus, you know, just for fellowship with other people, just to hang out with him, just to be around him, and that's okay too. And some of them even got financial help. They got help, and some people come to church for those reasons. But here's what I'm saying is nothing really ever changes in their life.
Yeah. Amen.
Nothing ever changes in their life. And the problem is, it's not they're coming to Jesus without the faith necessary. Hold your place here and turn over to Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to just touch on this for Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Many people come to Jesus without anything changing after they leave, but I want to show you maybe why in many cases. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left at us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." What? Let's look up here for a second. What that verse means is there's promises given to us as Christians all throughout the Bible, but so many people never see those promises come to pass in their life. You understand what I'm saying? Do you ever feel that way?
Man.
Sure you do. Like, "Lord, you promised this. This is in the Bible. I can see it. I can read it. I can even quote it sometimes." But why do sometimes people come short of those promises? Verse 2. Here's why. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them." Why? "It was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it."
Yeah.
Now, I'm not talking about health, wealth, and prosperity here, but I'm talking about people who just don't really believe God.
Amen. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Come on.
The same gospel can be preached to two people, both of them lost. One can get saved, the other one can go home, and nothing ever changes. Well, because they just did not believe it. They did not. Now, it's a heart matter, folks. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It's a matter of your heart. It's a matter of our hearts. When the Bible is preached, the Bible says that it is the power of God.
Amen.
Jesus, all she did was touch the border, the hem of his garment from behind. She didn't even see his face.
Right.
But her heart was so full of faith, believing that Jesus could. Sometimes I wonder. I wonder how many things I miss out on because of doubt. How many times did Jesus say, "Oh, you faithless and perverse generation, how long am I going to have to be here with you? Bring the boy over here to me."
Amen.
Now, when Peter walked on the water and fell in, Jesus said he had little faith.
Yeah.
Good night. Well, then what does it take to have a lot of faith? I can't walk on water.
Right.
I'm simply saying to you, there's a matter here that I think we need to not overlook real quickly. We're going to get back to Jairus. But this woman is a picture of the fact that God has the power to fix and change anything that we have in our life that's broken.
Right. Amen.
Her body was broken. Her body was unhealthy. Now, if it's up to God, then we have no control over it. But according to our scripture, go back to Luke chapter 8. According to our scripture, he said unto her in verse 48, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole."
Yeah.
You know, there's so many promises in the Bible about praying, believing, and receiving.
Amen.
Praying, believing, and receiving.
Amen.
I don't know how to tell you this other than what the Bible says, but apparently it was this woman's faith that was why she was changed, because everybody else around there was just touching Jesus nonchalantly. There was just no real believing that he was really who he was, who he said he was.
Amen.
That's hard for us to swallow, but that's what the Bible says. Go back there and then look down in verse 49. As the words to the woman were coming out of Jesus' mouth while he yet spake, a member of Jairus' house shows up and tells him, "Thy daughter is dead."
Yep.
Now, you remember how excited Jairus was?
Yes.
Right. A little while ago?
Amen.
You remember how thrilled his heart was just beating out of his chest, and he couldn't wait to get Jesus back to his house? And now, listen to me, everything bottoms out. The bottom falls out. His prayers that he thought were getting answered. I want to pick up right here and just give you a few thoughts here. The thing that Jairus feared the most just happened.
Yeah.
When Jairus went to Jesus, his greatest fear was, "My daughter's going to die." Yep. And she just did.
Yep.
I don't know if y'all are paying attention to me tonight, but we all have those things that make us tremble with fear if it would ever happen.
Yeah. Amen, bro.
We may have a dear loved one that if he or she ever passes away, we may have a financial, you name it. But this was his only little girl. The one thought that consumed his life at this moment, he was begging Jesus to help before this happened, but now it happened anyway.
Yep.
This is tough.
Right.
The one thing that he was afraid of, Job chapter 3, verse 25 says, "The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." And he was talking about everything that happened to him. That was his greatest fear, losing his family, losing his money, losing everything that he's had, his health. But the one thing that we fear the most, listen to me, be careful. There may be a reason that it's teetering on destruction. I'm gonna leave it right there for now. I've got a point to make here, but I want us to get inside this man's head. He was thrilled to walk with Jesus. Then now that the worst fear he had, his worst nightmare had come to pass. I want you to notice, secondly, here he was all by himself.
Yep.
There's a horde of people there, preacher. What do you mean by that? I'm telling you, though, there was only one man who was there for his daughter.
Yeah. Right.
There was only one man who had a daughter that we know of, but there was only one man that was there specifically for Jesus to heal his daughter who was lying on the deathbed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what I'm saying to you is when things like, when the bottom falls out, maybe that's what I should have named the message, when the bottom falls out, I don't care how many people are around you, I don't care if you're in a crowd or if you're in a small church, a big church, a lot of people at work, the shopping mall, you know exactly what I mean, you feel so all alone.
Yeah.
That's right.
You're just alone. I mean, your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, church members, pastor. I mean, you know, they can try, but you know, you just feel all alone.
Yep.
Jairus was all alone. His family was still at home. His wife was home with his daughter. He was the loneliest man alive right about then.
Yeah. That's right.
In the middle of a crowd. You know, when there's a heavy burden on your heart, many times you're the only one who carries it.
Yep.
No one else even knows about it. Now, you can tell somebody, but if you do, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to understand. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to very really help you carry it, because it's not necessarily their burden. Now, we're supposed to bear you one another's burdens. We're supposed to fulfill the law of Christ. But you know what I'm talking about tonight. Are y'all awake tonight? I'm talking about when you get the bottom falls out and you realize, this is exactly what I was afraid of.
Yeah.
And now, and you just feel all alone.
Yeah, amen.
Everything, everybody is completely irrelevant to you. You're all by yourself. Think what he's thinking also. Think about this. His daughter was dead, notice, and he wasn't there.
Right. Yeah, amen.
His daughter was dead and he wasn't there. His thought running through his head, my daughter just died and I couldn't even tell her goodbye.
Yeah.
Are you getting the picture tonight of how low down this man must have felt right about now? Everything fell apart. This was his only child, his only little girl. And remember, he also's thinking about his wife, no doubt. He's thinking about his poor little wife there at home and how she had to face this sorrow by herself.
Yep.
And he's all out there by himself. His family's there. He couldn't even kiss his little girl goodbye.
Right.
You know, he had every reason to be bitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had every reason to be bitter. He had every reason to be angry.
Yeah.
I mean, with all of this happening, it would have been perfectly understandable if he just got flat out angry.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Angry? What do you mean? Well, think about this. He could have got real angry at that crowd for slowing Jesus down.
Yeah.
He could have got real angry at that woman.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
With her blood issue. He could have got real angry at the messenger. You know, isn't it funny how when we get bad news, we take it out on the messenger?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I'm just a messenger.
Yeah. Yeah.
But notice quickly, he could have got mad at Jesus.
Yeah,
yes,
that's right.
Right.
Yep.
Now, come on, don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
Right.
He could have got mad at Jesus.
Yeah.
Because after all, Jesus could have just kept going. So the woman got her blood. Let's go.
Right.
Understand something, Jairus, his life just fell apart.
Yep.
Like that.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yep.
And he could have gotten bitter. He had every reason to get angry and bitter. But here's what I want to do. I want to look at what we can learn from this situation quickly. Number one, Jesus knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
This is not deep, but you need to remember these things when you find yourself all alone. When you find yourself hurting in that thing that you fear the most, there it is. Jesus knew what was going on.
Man.
See, no one else in that crowd was aware of who Jairus even was. They may have noticed or recognized him from the synagogue, but they didn't care about him. They were just hanging out with Jesus. They did not know his situation. They did not understand his heartache. They did not know what he was going through. They didn't realize how much everything had just fallen apart in his whole life.
Yeah.
But Jesus did.
Hey. Yeah. Hey.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Jesus knew exactly what was going on.
Yep.
When we're hurting, Jesus knows.
Yeah.
When we're weak, Jesus knows.
Yeah.
When we're broken, Jesus knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we're weeping, Jesus knows.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we can't, when we don't even have the strength to put one foot in front of the next or the other, Jesus knows.
Yeah.
When we don't want to get out of bed in the morning because nothing's changed, Jesus knows.
Amen. That's right.
Yep.
Come on. Amen.
Hebrews 4:15 says, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows every feeling of our infirmities that we've ever felt.
Amen.
Right.
Jesus knew exactly what was going on. You, whatever you're going through, whatever you're prepared to go through, whatever you're afraid of that you might ever have to go through, understand something. If it comes to pass, I'm not wishing that upon you, but understand something. Jesus knows what's going on. Number two, Jairus knew what Jesus could do.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Now think about this with me for a minute. He had just seen Jesus heal this other lady.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, remember I said he could have gotten angry about that.
Right.
He could have gotten frustrated at best.
Mm-hmm.
Frustrated at, why are you spending so much time with this woman? I was here first.
Yeah.
Mom, wow. Preach.
He was.
That's right. Yeah, amen.
I was here first, Jesus. What do you mean, this woman? Okay. Well, hurry up. Come on.
Right. That's right. Amen.
But he saw this happen. He was standing right beside Jesus.
Right.
When Jesus looked at her and said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Yes.
He heard those words.
Right.
What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. This woman who got her blood issue fixed immediately after 12 years, her next address was going to be the graveyard.
Yeah, that's right.
You understand what I'm saying? She had no. There was no doctor going to fix her. She had no more money. She was going to die. She was as good as dead.
Yep, that's right.
And I believe he could have been frustrated to see this other lady take all of Jesus' time, take all of Jesus' attention away from his daughter. But listen, I don't believe it was an accident.
Yeah, amen.
I don't know if you're understanding me tonight, but here's what I'm saying. God knew exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
When he let Jairus see that woman do what she did, and let Jairus see Jesus do what he did, and let Jairus hear the communication back and forth, and now his daughter's dead. And by the way, that didn't surprise God.
That's right.
Yeah, amen. Yep.
It didn't surprise God that she was already, that his daughter was going to die before Jesus got there. But I believe, listen, God was showing Jairus, listen now, don't miss this. God was showing Jairus exactly what Jesus could do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen. That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
See, in the midst of his frustration, he may have missed it, though. Like maybe so many times we do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
In the midst of our frustration, where, Lord, this is not what I asked for.
Yeah.
This is not what I was wanting from you.
Yeah.
This is not the prayer that I prayed. You understand, Jesus, I don't want you to heal her right now. My daughter is sick.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Right.
But you see, God knew that Jairus was going to need to remember how powerful Jesus was very soon.
Yeah, amen.
Jesus knew what was going on. Jairus knew what Jesus could do.
Yeah.
And Jairus realized, I've got to stay with Jesus.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen.
No Notice again in verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. See, the servant from his house said, leave Jesus alone.
Yeah.
Just leave him alone. Now, don't miss this now. His wife, was no doubt the one who sent this messenger. So her message to him was, leave Jesus now. It's too late.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody around him, listen now, everybody around him that knew what was going on said, just leave him alone.
Yeah.
It's too late.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yep.
Just come home and mourn with the rest of us. Don't trouble Jesus anymore.
Yeah.
You see, and quite frankly, you have to understand something. It was true.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, Jairus had just seen what Jesus could do.
Right.
And now, when he was facing something that gave him every reason to go away from Jesus, pay attention right now. This was the absolute crucial, most crucial moment of his life.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Everybody told him, just leave Jesus alone.
Yeah.
Your prayers didn't get answered.
Right.
He didn't fix your daughter. Just leave him alone. Let's go home and mourn together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, after all, your wife's waiting for you. Your daughter's there dead. We got to figure out, you know, the burial arrangements. You're her daddy. Get home already. You just come on. Forget Jesus. It's too late.
Right. Yeah,
this was the most crucial moment of his life.
Yeah.
Listen to me tonight. One thing he could not do, one thing he dare not do, was leave Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
One thing we better never ever even consider,
yep,
no matter how dark the clouds look,
yeah,
no matter how hard the rain falls, no matter how boisterous the wind blows, no matter who dies, no matter who departs, no matter how broken, one thing we better never do, but by the way, regardless of what everybody else says.
That's right.
Yeah,
amen. Come on.
Yep. Regardless of what
amen
your family, your friends, those closest to you say, just leave him alone. It's too late. Come on, it's over.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Right then and there, dearly beloved, you better make this decision the right one.
Amen. Yeah. That's right.
Stay with Jesus. Amen.
Right then and there, Jairus, he was at a crossroads, the most important time, the most important decision he was ever going to make up to this point in his life. He had to realize, I will not leave Jesus.
Amen.
I want you to notice in verse 50, when Jesus heard it, of course, he answered him saying, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole.
Amen.
Now remember, Jesus was all that Jairus had.
Right.
Nobody else cared about this man.
Yep.
Nobody else even knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Jesus was all Jairus had. Listen to me tonight. Jesus was all that Jairus needed.
Yeah. Amen.
But notice something. You don't know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
That's right.
Could it be that God was behind all this?
Amen.
Amen.
You sure was, preacher. That's the whole point.
Yep.
But listen, it didn't look good.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you imagine all the things that were going through his head? Why did Jesus say, fear not? Because fear was one of them.
Yeah.
What am I going to tell my wife?
Right.
How am I going to explain this to my wife? She sent me out. I came out to get Jesus. I promised her I'd get Jesus. I promised her everything would be okay. What am I going to tell my wife?
Right, that's right.
How am I going to ever fix my wife's broken heart?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Yep.
Not to mention, how can I go on without my precious little baby?
Amen, yeah.
Right.
12 years old is still a good age. They're not teenagers yet. Anyway, y'all are sleepy tonight. I'll just hurry up and finish. I can tell that's what you want me to do. Could it be that God did this to Jairus to teach him a priceless lesson?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
I want you to think about it. He was hurting, man. I know some of you are hurting.
Yeah.
Yeah, amen.
And things ain't working out. I know that's not proper grammar or whatever, but things ain't working out like you thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. Amen.
But I want you to understand something. You're seeing Jesus do things. You just stay with Jesus. You'll continue to see Jesus do things that only Jesus can do. And I want you to understand, no matter what happens, no matter what everybody says, you must determine in your heart that I'm not leaving Jesus.
Amen. That's right, bro. That's right.
I'm not giving up on the only one who can help me.
Yeah.
Listen to me. The more impossible the situation, the more we need Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Amen.
Think about that. A doctor could have gone while she was still lying sick and maybe done something to help her. But once she's dead, dearly beloved, there's no help, humanly speaking.
That's right.
With man, these things are impossible. Amen. But with God, all things... And listen, those things which are impossible for man are the ones that Jesus is the one that we need the most for those. That's where we need Him the most.
Yep, that's right. Amen.
And then we see Jesus say, fear not. He had to make a decision right there. I want you to understand something. It's never God's will that you go away from Jesus.
That's right. Absolutely. That's right.
For anybody.
Amen.
That's right.
For anything.
Yep.
It's never God's will.
Amen.
Jesus said, look at me, Jairus. He looked him dead in the eyeball. Uh-huh. He said, fear not.
Amen.
Fear not.
Amen.
Believe.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Believe me. Believe what you just saw. Believe me.
Amen. Amen.
Your daughter's going to be fine.
Amen. That's right.
Yep. Thank you, Lord.
And that's an impossible promise to make. She's dead. But then finally, the best part of this whole story. Amen.
Amen.
They got home. Verse 51, he came into the house. He suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, the father, the mother, the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. We know they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out. They did not get to see. They did not get to experience. And by the way, let me just stop right and say this. A fool mocketh at the word of God.
That's right.
This was Jesus saying, weep not, she's not. This was God saying, weep not, she's not dead. And listen, only a fool would mock and laugh at the word of God.
Amen.
But it's happening every day.
Absolutely.
And you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, look, Peter, James, John, you guys, get these people out of here.
Yep.
Again, they did not believe, so they were not going to see.
Yeah.
Now, he went in. He said, maiden, arise. He said, her spirit, the Bible says, her spirit came again. Her spirit came again. Her body was fine. Her spirit was gone.
Yep.
That's all death is, my friends.
Right.
Death is when we're absent from the body. The spirit is absent from the body.
Amen, that's right.
Death is not the end.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Death is not the end of anything. It's just a separation of the spirit from the body and translated into the next, eternity.
Yep.
Into eternity.
Amen.
But here's what I want you to see. This, when Jesus got home, Jesus changed everything about this man's family.
That's right. Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jesus changed everything about this man's family. What a revival they had in Jairus' house that night.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep.
Jesus revived Jairus' entire house.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It sure didn't look like it was going to happen, though.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder what would have happened if Jairus would have come home alone.
Oh, preach. Yep. Amen. That's right.
Death, darkness, sorrow, sadness, despair, hopelessness, weeping, wailing, mourning. Boy, that decision back there on that road was pretty important.
Yeah, that's right.
Pretty important.
Yep.
I wonder what would have happened if Jairus would have come home alone.
Yeah.
The answer is nothing.
That's right.
Yep.
Nothing would have changed. Listen, this week coming up, I want you to understand, we have a revival meeting starting Sunday morning. Jesus wants to revive our homes. Jesus wants to revive our families. Jesus wants to revive our hearts. Jesus wants to revive our church. But let me ask you this. What's it going to be that's going to make you stray from Jesus this week?
Yep. That's right. Amen. Yep.
See, now it all comes right back home, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What's it going to be to make us stray from Jesus this week when He wants to revive our hearts?
Yeah.
When what did the Bible say? That her spirit came back into her.
Yeah.
Her spirit came back into her body. Yeah. You know what we need in this old church right here? Yeah. We've got a body of believers, but you know, I think we just got a little bit of a down spirit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Not dead.
Yeah.
But not as alive as it used to be.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Because we've all, I'm not going to go into detail. We've all had plenty of Jairus days, haven't we?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Here's one thing we got to do, dearly beloved. We must decide tonight that nothing's going to take us away from Jesus.
Amen.
Because He wants to do a work in our hearts.
Amen. That's right.
He said, what's going to happen this week? All we're going to do is come to church and let Jesus revive our hearts.
Amen. Yeah.
Let the Word of God speak and work in our hearts. See, Jairus' name, his name means the one who brings light.
Yeah, that's right.
And Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen. That's right.
Jairus went to bring the light to his family.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, no matter what our situation may look like, no matter who understands us or doesn't understand us, no matter who's with us or against us, we've got to stay with Jesus. He knows what's going on in our hearts.
Right.
He knows what's going on in our heads.
Yeah, right.
Some of us, that would be not much. He knows what's going on in our families, our homes, our churches. He knows what's going on. And He can do what needs to be done.
Yeah.
But you're going to hear reasons and have people tell you reasons, and things are going to come up. They're going to say, well, I just can't. I'm just going to leave you alone tonight, Jesus. I'll be back later. Don't do that.
Yeah,
that's right.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Don't do that.
Amen.
Don't do that. Jesus is our only hope. We need revival. I need revival.
Amen.
Yep.
When Jesus got home to Jairus' house, boy, there was a fit of revival.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
But He had to make a very important decision on that road.
Yep.
Make that decision tonight, will you?
Amen.
Will you make that decision tonight?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your people, Lord. I thank You for the Bible. I pray You'd help us tonight to make that decision that we will be here in these services next week. We'll be a part of what Jesus wants to do in our hearts. We'll not let anything or anybody pull us away. Lord, we need You. We desperately need Jesus to do the work in our families and in our homes and in our church especially, Lord. God, we need a revival of old-fashioned burden for souls. We need a revival, Lord, of tithing and giving to missions. We need a revival, Lord, of weeping and at the altar, confessing and repenting of our sins. And we need a revival, Lord, of loving the brethren once again like we should. We need a revival, Lord, of reaching people for Jesus. We need a revival, God, of stirring these baptistry waters here with new converts. God, we need Your Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts. I pray, oh God, please, for Your people tonight, that they would listen to these simple thoughts and realize, Lord, they may not be as bad off as Jairus was, but Father, no matter what, we need Jesus. We must make a decision to not let anything pull us away. In Jesus' name we pray.